As you read through the Gospel of Mark, you might ask this question: man, what if there were no scribes and Pharisees? What would have Jesus been able to accomplish all the more in the time that Mark records if he didn't constantly have to face this group of people called the scribes and the Pharisees? Christ in his ministry lived with handling difficult people that would not go away. And they are known in the scriptures as the scribes and Pharisees. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, we find these groups being a thorn in our Savior's side, a constant source of irritation, a critical, jealous spirit, seeking to catch him or his disciples in violation of the law, setting traps and asking difficult questions and making false accusations and conclusions on his disciples and upon Christ. And every time Christ answers them, they leave him more upset, and they're leaving, and they did not catch him. Nevertheless, in all of Scripture, there's nobody that Christ was more blunt with or direct with than the scribes and Pharisees. In our text, in Mark chapter 7, notice in verse number 6, he answered and said unto them, "Well hath Esaias," or Isaiah, "prophesied of you hypocrites, as is written," and this is the thrust of the message, "this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Now, it's one thing to read those words. Can you imagine being the group that's standing before Christ and he is speaking those words with his piercing eyes right into your eyes? "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Who are these people that Christ had to deal with in his ministry? The scribes were a people that were very, very knowledgeable about the law. They would have been known as the doctors of the law. They would have been known as the interpreters of the law. And they loved to hold high positions, we read about in Scripture. They loved to sit in the high seats. They loved to be called rabbi by the people that would follow them. Very interesting of the scribes that in many cases they went beyond the law. So there was a law, and they interpreted it and they created it as more heavy than what God actually meant by that law. That's a little portrait of the scribes in the New Testament. In the New Testament, as we read about it, they were the professional students. The people looked up to them in their role. They were zealous defenders of the law. They were students of the law, but their hearts were far from Jesus. That's amazing to me, that you could be a student of the Scriptures. And they were. They would have known the law inside and out. They would have been able to explain the jot and tittles of the law of the Old Testament. Their lips did one thing, but their heart, Jesus said, not another man, but Jesus said, "Their hearts are far from me." Is it possible in our day for us to know the Scriptures and yet our hearts be far from Christ? Really, if that's the place you're in, it's the worst place to be. So, years ago, we were having a yard sale, and there was always this cylinder in our backyard in Ohio that I never knew what it was. It had a piece of sheet metal across it, and on top of that sheet metal, it had a large rock. And so that day I got exploring. I was probably 9, 10, 11 years old. And I took the rock off, and I went to flip over the sheet metal, and I did. And when I did, I took a step towards it, and it was a sewer pit. And as quick as I moved that piece of metal, I was at the bottom of that sewer pit in no time. And that sewer was up to my waist, and it was horrible. And there's no way out. There's no way I could get myself out. There was nothing to climb on. It was all surrounded in brick. And so there's no way to get any leverage to. And so the only thing I could do was, help! Who's going to get me out of the sewer pit? Worst place I could be. Now, I will tell you this about that time. There was nothing else going on in my mind but get out of that pit. Like, it didn't matter what else was going on. It didn't matter if we just did a good sale at the yard sale. It didn't matter if I had a baseball game that night. Nothing else was going on in my mind because I was in the worst place that I thought I could ever be. And in that worst place, it registered. Number one priority, get out of that place. Help! So somebody happened to stop by the yard sale. My mother came. What in the world? She looked down, and this man came, and she held his feet. And he reached down, kind of reminds me, I got a very picturesque view of Psalm 40 where he brought me out of a horrible pit, right? Yeah, I had it. And he lifted me out, dripping with sewer, out of that pit. It was the worst place I could be. And I had to get out. I would argue this morning, if the Lord Jesus would say to you, your heart is far from me, that's the worst place to be. And in this service, it ought to consume you to get out of that. Get out of that spot. And so, the scribes and the Pharisees, a little bit more background on them. The Bible uses the phraseology in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, people that were watching, people that were trying to catch Christ in wrong, man, he said the wrong thing or he's doing the wrong thing. Gamaliel, if you remember Gamaliel, one of the instructors of Paul in Acts chapter 5, he was a doctor of the law. And yet these people were far from Christ. Look at them in the Gospel of Mark because they pop up over and over in the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 2, go to chapter 2 and look at verse number 24. The Pharisees were that other group. The Pharisees were members of a party that believed in the resurrection, but in following the legal traditions that were ascribed not by the Bible, but by the tradition of their fathers. Like the scribes, they were also well-known legal experts, and so these groups overlap throughout the passages of Scripture here. Mark chapter 2, verse 24, "And the Pharisees said unto him," that's Christ, "Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful?" So, question, was there a Sabbath law in the Bible? Oh, one of the Ten Commandments, right? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Did the scribes and Pharisees go beyond what God expected of the Sabbath? And the answer is yes, they did. You study your scriptures. Because when Jesus defends his disciples eating an ear of corn on the Sabbath, he points back to David in the Old Testament and says, hey, did not David have a right to feed his body or feed others' bodies if there was a need? And so it's clear here that in Mark chapter 2, they're again going after Jesus about the Sabbath. Go to chapter 2 and verse number 6. Bible says, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemy or blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Basically, they were looking at Christ and saying, Christ doesn't have power to forgive sins. This person's not God. And so, again, they were attacking the person of Christ. If you look at verse 16 of chapter 2. "And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" Or again, they're looking at Christ and saying, wow, look at his company. Oh, how can this guy do this? If you look at chapter 3 and verse number 6. The Bible says, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. They were a thorn in his side. If you go back to chapter number 2 and verse number 18, and the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? Here's another problem we find in relationship to the law. And they were going beyond the law, and they were holding fast to the traditions of men. A little bit about the Jewish background. They had a couple of writings called the Mishnah and the Talmud. When I was in Israel 6 years ago, I had a very in-depth discussion with our tour guide about the Mishnah and the Talmud. So the Mishnah and the Talmud were writings from rabbis, their interpretations of the law. However, in the Jewish culture, they would take those writings and they would say those writings are as authoritative, even more authoritative than the Bible itself. And by the way, when we get into that, if you remember the cult series that we started and we'll come back to after missions conference, isn't that one of the signs of the cults, that they exalt another authority to equality of the Bible or even higher? And so that is what Christ is dealing with these scribes and with these Pharisees. In chapter 3, verse number 21, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. They called Jesus a devil here. And he called unto them and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? He used their own reasoning against them, and they could not answer that question. We get to chapter 10, and who's showing up again? But the Pharisees. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Again, tempting Christ. I share all that to share with you that this was not a one-time occurrence. As Mark is writing his gospel and as he's reflecting on what he's seen, he is seeing these scribes and Pharisees pop up everywhere. And here in Mark chapter 7, boy, I mean, Jesus does not mince words. He says, you're hypocrites. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. This morning I want to preach on when you will find your heart far from God. When you will find your own heart far from God. Four truths about this. Number one, if you're taking notes, when tradition trumps truth, you will find your heart far from God. Look at verse number 3, Mark chapter 7, our text. The Bible says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding what? Holding the tradition of the elders. Verse number 5, then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Here's what they were saying. They were saying, we find our cleanliness in washing our hands before we eat. That's being clean before God because we're keeping that law. In fact, they went so far as to say, when they mixed among Gentiles at the market, they would need to come home and wash their hands because they had mixed with unclean people. And that was the traditions that they held to. That was the mindset that they thought as they would be close to God, they would have to have all the outward little details all down. And that would be the judgment of whether or not a person was close to God. Now let me say a balancing truth to this. There are things that should change outwardly about us because of what takes place inwardly in our hearts. But here's what they had going. They had going all the outward to the 10th degree of washing your hands, to the 10th degree of holding on to the Sabbath, to the 10th degree, and their hearts were wicked and cold before God. And God said, that's something I can't accept. Your heart is far from me. You've only emphasized the outside to the erosion of the inside of your heart because tradition meant more to them than truth. Look at verse 13. making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So in their tradition, they had basically made the word of God of none effect. It's interesting that when we hold traditions, we can lay aside the commands of God. This was a large-scale problem for the scribes and Pharisees. In fact, Jesus says here in the text, he says it happens in many, many different things that ye do. There's many things that you do that are like this. I think it's interesting in verse number 7, the Bible says, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. But in the same voice, he says in verse number 9, full well ye reject the commandment of God. And then he's going to give them an illustration in verse number 10. What's the illustration? For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Question, do you think that that command has changed today? Or is God still interested in us honoring our fathers and mothers? I believe the commands of Scripture outside of the ceremonial laws, I believe all the moral laws of Scripture, God's never changed his mind on. A lot of people try to change the Scriptures on moral laws today. But morally speaking, what God wrote, God still means today. So here's the scribes and Pharisees now. They're going to interpret that verse. Here's how they're going to interpret. They're going to bring a tradition of man in. And Jesus puts his finger on the pulse. Read about it in verse number 11. But ye say, here's God's commandment under Moses. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Moses clearly set forth a divine command, honor thy father and thy mother. What the scribes and Pharisees came up with was this. If you take your resources and you say, well, I've given them as a gift to God, then you are free of not having to honor or take care of your father and mother. And Jesus said, let me deal with you. You put the traditions of men above the commandments of God. You know what their traditions sometimes did? Sometimes their traditions went beyond Scripture and tightened things tighter than what Scripture. And sometimes their traditions went the other way and eroded things that God had set in motion, that God had made very clear. And so it gave people a way out. And Jesus said, my friend, when you do that, you have a heart that is far from me. You can't let tradition trump truth. And that's what he was dealing with in this particular passage. This crafty tradition that they developed made the word of God of none effect. Basically, the people could walk away and say this, that doesn't apply to me. I know God says honor your father and mother, but the tradition of man, what the elders tell me, what the scribes have come up with is that if I just show everything as a gift to God, then I'm not responsible. I'm free from that command. I'm sorry, my friend. The understanding of that command is this. Every person born by a father and mother is under that command. Amen. You have a father and mother this morning, you have responsibility to honor your father and your mother. That has never changed in all of Scripture. That has always been God's mind on how relationships should work within a family. Honor, honor, honor. But let's scrap that. Let's build a bridge over it or around it so we can get around having to live by that principle. And that's what he's dealing with. We have to be careful, friends. We have to be careful that we study these scriptures. And in the studying of the scriptures, that we are committed to follow truth from our heart. That this is what pleases God. In their case, they were about the truth to some degree, But they were more about the truth so that they would be elevated in the eyes of others. And so they could look down at others that were not following the laws. Why do you think they were asking questions about Christ? Why do you think they were accusing the disciples of not fasting and not keeping the Sabbath and the things that we read about? They had an arrogant view of themselves and they had a downward look at others. That's not a heart that's close to God. A heart that's close to God is a humble heart that is really worried a lot about me before God. Like, there are things in my life that I have to correct and work on. And God, I want to be right with you. That's a heart that's close to God. That was not in their thinking. That was not in their heart. Their heart was to look down at others. Now, on the balancing side of that, are we to judge things? Yes, we are. I'll be dealing with that in the evening. I'm starting a series tonight on convictions. So the Bible's not saying don't have any convictions. But what God's saying is, make sure your heart is in the right place with me. Make sure that you're concerned primarily about you and your relationship with me and obeying my word, not tradition. That's what he's dealing with here. There's a second thing that you can know when your heart is far from the Lord. And that is when you delight in being a taskmaster and dread being a servant. And going back to the traditions, I would just remind you, I don't know who's here this morning, I don't know what background you're from, there are a lot of people leaning on traditions for salvation. And let me just speak a couple things on that. The tradition of the rosary beads and prayer is not truth. It's not truth. And if you're coming out of the Catholic religion, and I call it a religion because it is man's way to God, not God's way to God, you need to throw out traditions. And you need to cling to truth. Truth says, as a believer, you can go to God direct. Let us come boldly, therefore, to the throne of God that we may find mercy and help in time of need. I can go directly to God. You going and confessing sins to somebody else, my friend, I'm sorry, that's tradition. It's not truth. Amen. Truth is me understanding that there's only one person that can forgive, and that's Jesus because of his shed blood. That's truth. And so when a person comes to Christ, many times when we're dealing with somebody about the gospel, you know, they are holding on to traditions like the Pharisees and scribes, things that they've been taught that are not found in the Word of God. And when we hold on to those traditions, what do? We make the truth of none effect. And if you're going to get saved, you have to throw out tradition and take truth. And truth says, Jesus Christ alone is the payment for my sin. So, if you're holding on to traditions and you're leaning on traditions to draw you close to God, can I tell you what God's verdict on that is? Number one, you're making his word of none effect. Number two, you can honor him with your lips, but your heart is far from him. So we know our hearts are far from God when tradition trumps truth. Number two, we know our hearts are far from God when we delight in being taskmasters and dread being servants. Look at Matthew 23. Go over to Matthew chapter 23. I think it's very interesting what the Bible says here, and I think it goes with a message that I preached a while ago on the model servant out of the book of Mark, because Mark presents Christ, remember, as the servant. He came not to be ministered unto or to be served, but to minister, but to serve and give himself a ransom for many. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 9, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. There's the hypocrisy. But notice this verse, verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Now watch this. Jesus is speaking to a multitude here, and he's speaking to his disciples, And he is, if we could say it this way, he's putting the light right on the problems of the scribes and Pharisees. Like, I want you to know who these people are, and I don't want you to be like them. He says, don't follow their works. What is one of their works? Verse number 4, for they bind heavy burdens. Interesting phrase. It means the custom of loading animals. The load or burden is bound up and then it's laid upon the animal. A lot of times over in the Middle East and in foreign countries, they will pack an animal. And some of you have been on hunting trips where you've maybe packed an animal. You've loaded the burden. You've made it heavy upon that animal. And here the picture is that that's what they do with people and never look to lift any burdens. Only to load burdens on people. My friend, when we live with that mindset, when we live in that lifestyle, that is a heart that is far from Christ. Christ came to lift burdens, did he not? Does it not say about Christ that he said, come unto me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Christ, do you remember when he lifted your burden of sin? For us to load burdens on others and never lift burdens is a heart that is far from God. And he points that out here. Parents, may I remind you, certainly we're to give our kids responsibility. Certainly we're to train them up to be responsible individuals. But do you raise your kids in such a way that they could never feel like they've pleased you? Do you raise your kids in such a way that you never, never reward them? They never hear from you, I'm proud of you. It is burden, 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 burden. Shame on you, parent. Shame. It is not a picture of Christ. It's interesting here. He says, if that's what the Pharisees and the scribes do, and this is the people whose heart is far from me, don't follow them. Follow me instead. Creating undue weights upon others. Be careful. Be careful. That's a danger in our lives. We need to understand that there's a balance. These scribes and Pharisees were void of compassion. They were void of mercy. They were void of grace. They loved laying the law down. They loved pronouncing judgment. They loved finding wrong. But forgiveness and long-suffering and forbearance were not part of their vocabulary. No, thank you. And Jesus said about this particular group, your hearts are far from me. Pretty direct. Small setting, eyeball to eyeball, your hearts are far from me. When else do we know our heart is far from God? It's when we live for applause and we lack humility. In Matthew, you're there, verse number 5, the Bible says, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets to be called of men rabbi. They love the applaud. Give it, give it, give it, give it, give it. And when we live for that, the approval of men, the applause of others, we have the heart of a Pharisee. We have the heart of a Pharisee. May I remind you this morning that really your number one goal in life should be to have the applause of your Heavenly Father. Just worry about pleasing God. Just be consumed that God, every aspect of my life, I just want to be in harmony. I want it to be in agreement. I want my life to be submitted to your word. God, that's what matters to me. These men, they loved, it was in their heart. They loved the applause. They loved the attention. That's not a Christian's heart that's close to God. Not a Christian's heart that's close to God. Can I give you an illustration? Yesterday, we were at Operation Saturation, and Mrs. Ingalls walks in. And this past Monday, there was a surprise party in the Bible Assembly Ministry for the Ingalls. And they have served in the Bible Assembly Ministry, along with some others, for 30 years. So all the way back to 1992, and we were talking about it being downstairs in this building and how it's grown. And I congratulated them and I thanked her yesterday. And you know what she did? Immediately, she deflected it. Like, I don't want that attention. I don't need that applause. And pointed to him. That's a good example. That's a good role model for all of us. That we don't live for the applause of men. That when we're living for applause and we lack humility, our hearts are far from the Lord. There's a fourth thing here, and that is when rules and rituals replace relationship. Your heart is far from God. Now, those of you that have been at Mount Zion Baptist Church for a while, you know that there are some things that we teach and preach from the Scriptures. We actually believe that when somebody gets saved, it does change every aspect of life. We do believe that when Jesus takes over your life, that your inside and your outside and your attitude and your countenance and everything, God wants to change. All right? We don't believe that Jesus comes in and you look, act, speak, have the same schedule. We just believe that when Jesus comes in, he changes everything from the inside out. Bible teaches that, right? But in the midst of that, if we're not careful to keep the relationship developed, we will only look at those things as rules. Rules and rituals that replace relationship. And my friend, if that has occurred in your life, your heart is far from God. In verse number 6, go back to Mark chapter 7. They were going through the motions. They were going to the temple and worshiping. So by most of the world's standards, oh, those people love God. They go to church. But by God's standard of relationship, nope. They don't love me. They can go to church, that's fine. But they don't love me. Just because we wake up on Sunday morning, put church clothes on, put our Bible in our hand, and show up and sit in a pew, does not cause Jesus to look down and say, wow, they love me. He said, these people, in verse 7, in vain do they worship me. They're wasting their time teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. May I remind you this morning that true worship comes from the heart. It is a response to God from the heart. There are certain things that in my life I've grown to say no to, but not to be better than somebody else, but out of a heart that says he's worth it. He deserves my set apartedness unto him in this way. And I don't want to be defiled by this, which would affect my relationship with him. But when we're speaking of the scribes and Pharisees in the Gospel of Mark and throughout the Gospels, they're not concerned about relationship with him. They're concerned about rules. They're concerned about rituals. Did you wash your hands? You didn't wash your hands? Can you believe he didn't wash his hands? But not, Lord, I want to keep my heart clean, because Lord, I know that that's what really hinders a relationship with you. I don't have time to preach the second portion of Mark 7 this morning, but he goes on to show them that it's the heart, what comes out of the heart, that defiles a man. Not washing your hands. or not washing your hands when you eat. By the way, he talks about food in that setting. And it's not what you put in your belly that defiles you before God. You know what defiles you? It's the things in your heart. It's your heart relationship or lack of relationship with the Savior. That's what defiles you. That's where he says, you worship me. You say with your lips one thing, but your heart is far from me. And Christian, if your heart is far from God this morning and you've gotten into a rules, ritual type of living, my friend, you're in the worst place you could be. Get out of that. Draw an eye with your heart to God again and say, God, I've gotten into this mentality of I got to do this and I got to do this and I got to do this. But Lord, it's not coming from my heart before you. God, I understand you're looking at my heart. And develop your heart relationship with God again. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. True worship comes from the heart, and it must be directed by God's truth. When rules and rituals trump relationship in your life, you're in a bad place. You're hurting spiritually. I'm not here to condemn you this morning. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm saying every Christian can get to any one of these places in their lives. They can seek applause over humility. They can have rules and rituals that seem to substitute for relationship. They can take traditions and they can trump truth in their lives with traditions. Horrible, horrible. They may have sang in their day, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the glories of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Certainly they had worship services like we're having. But do you know if Jesus heard those words sung by these scribes and Pharisees? You're trying to feed me that? Let me spit it out. Because your lips are a lot different than your heart. What does that mean, preacher? It means that they had chosen other loyalties that were greater than Christ. It's one thing for me to say I love my wife with all my heart, but then if I have loyalties to others who are more important to me than her, and every time there's time to spend with her, I don't have time for you because I have time for. I say one thing with my lips, but my heart's not close to my wife because other loyalties mean more to me than her. I'm asking you a question this morning. In your relationship with Christ, are there other loyalties that mean more to you than him? Does family mean more to you than him? It can get there. Family can mean more to us than our loyalty to Christ. Does what a friend is doing and what you're following in a friend's life mean more to you than Christ? Because I'll tell you this, Jesus is an accurate judge of your heart. And if he says, your heart is far from me, he is right, and you, my friend, are wrong. Their heart is far from me. What else, preacher? What's another point that reveals that our heart is far from him? Turn over to Isaiah chapter 29 because Mark 7 quotes Isaiah 29. If you remember, Mark doesn't quote from the Old Testament too much. Two times in the whole Gospel of Mark does he quote from the Old Testament, but one is here. It's actually Jesus himself quoting from the Old Testament where he says, Esaias has well said. What was Esaias well saying? Ye hypocrites! And we read about it in verse 13, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. What is the evidence in Isaiah that they had removed their heart? Look at verse number 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? It leads me to another revelation of when a heart is far from God, is when your worship is seen, but your wickedness is hidden. When your worship is seen, but your wickedness is hidden. Their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? If you had lived in Isaiah's day, you would have wondered what Isaiah really meant, because the people were going to the temple. It was crowded. Anytime a sacrifice was offered, you would find people there. There's a place for men and a court for women and a court for the Gentiles. Why was God finding fault with these people that were coming to the services and were coming to the worship times and coming to the sacrifices? Certainly that's where they should be. Yes, you're right. But they were in other places privately that they shouldn't be. And I want you to know, he knew it. And because he knew it, he had to reveal the truth. And he did it through the prophet. And the prophet said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me. My friend, it is not easy to admit that your heart is far from God. Do you understand what's the sad thing about this message as I conclude it? Is that we understand that very few, if any, scribes and Pharisees ever came to the same conclusion that Jesus came to about their hearts. They would hear him speak. They would deny the truth. They would not personalize. They would not apply. They would not humble themselves. They would not get right. They would not draw nigh to God. None of that. He would be as direct as you could be direct with anybody. And they would brush it off. And when your heart is far from the Lord, your discernment level about yourself is very, very sketchy. They thought they were up here. In society, we hold the law. We pay attention to the jot and tittles of the law. But in God's economy, they were way down here. Their hearts were not close to God. And Christian, the Word of God is written for self-examination. And the Spirit takes the Word of God and He brings it to our hearts so that we will search our hearts before God to find out if that is true of us. Because if that is true of us, may I remind you from my opening illustration, you're in the worst place you can be. And when I was in the worst place I could be, I couldn't do anything else but get me out. All costs, get me out. And if your heart is far from God, based upon the Scriptures this morning, these characteristics or a characteristic is true of you in the Scriptures, you know what you would do well to do? You would do well to come and put yourself on your knees humbly before a holy God and say, God, my heart is far from you. And your Spirit showed it to me today. And God, I'm not living there anymore. God, I'm drawing nigh to you today. My heart is far. God, I see this true in my life. What are you going to see? You're going to see that tradition trumps truth. You're going to see that you desire applause rather than humility. You're going to see that you're a taskmaster and dreading being a servant. You're going to see rules and rituals have become your form of life, which, by the way, that's a form of godliness. But godliness is from the heart. You're going to see that your worship is seen, but your wickedness is hidden. One of those things. If one of those things is true in your life, may I say, by the authority of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, I say it to help you. Your heart's far from Him. And really, I'm not saying it. God's saying it. Jesus said it. And He didn't say it to hurt them. He said it to help them, to take the blinders off, to understand realistically where I'm at, to get out of that place.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.